No playing.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to D20 Dudes, the tabletop role-playing podcast where the die decides our topic. I am Dylan.
And I'm Molly.
And today we are going to regale you with some of our favorite tabletop tales.
That's provided if my brain can scratch them up, you know, like someone with the dumbs would have.
Molly, time ago, I played a game called Anima Beyond Fantasy.
Hmm. That sounds very, very weeby.
It is so, so weeby.
All right.
I have spoken of it to some degree on this very podcast before. It's a hard one to cover because of how complex the system is. It's got like a lot of weird systems to it.
That also sounds weeby for some reason. I don't really know why.
Very weeby.
Mm-hmm.
But let me tell you,
mm-hmm.
had a character named Django once.
Django.
Django was the worst kind of human.
Hmm.
Just an overall bad dude.
Oh.
But let me tell you, I once was attempting to impress a young woman
mm-hmm.
in this game, so I rolled myself a dancing check, and I rolled a 98. Open roll. Roll again and add my roll to it. Roll again. Rolled a 99. Open roll. Roll again and add my roll to it. Roll again. 100. Oh my gosh, what's even happening? Open roll. Roll again and add the roll to it. I rolled a 92. Not enough for an open roll, but I got a dance roll, a performance roll that got almost up to 400. I danced so dancey. I did the fucking down diggity. I was Mac Daddy. I was the big boy dance pants right then in that moment. I did a dance so grand the whole world knew about it.
Wow.
That was a fun moment for me.
I'm proud of you.
It was pretty good. I then went on to murder children.
Why?
Because Django was just a bad dude. Just a real evil kind of guy.
A really terrible dude. Great dancer, though.
Yeah, solid dancer. Really not. Don't let him around your kids.
Wow. D&D really creates such special moments that make you go, dang, I can't say no to talent like that. But geez, man, why do you have to suck so hard?
Shoot, dang. If only you weren't a genocidal maniac,
mm-hmm.
you would have won America's Got Talent.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh. Games like that, where you just have that like one moment that like you give a character a certain trait or like just a something, a little je ne sais quoi,
mm-hmm.
and just that one moment that is never planned. I love things like that. We had something similar happen in a game of Dark Heresy we played once.
Mm-hmm.
A system I greatly enjoy. It's another D100 based system, set in the Warhammer 40K setting, as one might guess by the name.
Mm-hmm.
One of our players, it was Bartlett. Bartlett was playing a sniper who was a psyker who started the game with a mutation that he just had one really big beefy arm. One super beef boy arm. So like he was very clumsy, but like super strong. You know, as a sniper would need to be.
Mm-hmm.
And they were getting, like, they were on a ship. The kind of the premise of all Dark Heresy games is like you're an inquisitorial acolyte. So they were inquisitorial acolytes that needed to get down to the planet's surface in order to investigate things in the name of the Inquisition.
Were they red or wearing red?
No. They weren't Spanish.
No one suspects them, though.
Stop it. Get some help.
No. You and I have the same exact funny bone on that matter.
My funny bone hurts frequently.
It's because I'm so funny. I know. I really stressed it out.
Ha 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 ha.
I just spilled coffee on myself. I'm an adult.
Oh, aren't we all?
Are we?
Except you, little Timmy. I see you out there.
I'm just Timmy, a really...
your parents need to take better care of you. They shouldn't be letting you listen to this podcast. I say the fuck word in it all the time. Inappropriate. Listen. Timmy, me and your parents need to have a word. But,
especially me and your mom.
The group, as they're attempting to leave the ship, it falls under attack by Drakari raiders. They spot the Archon coming out of the ship that he is raiding in. Archon being the big Mac Daddy that was in command of the whole things. It is the raid boss. It was very much a kind of like big bad style dude you're going to have to deal with later. You're not meant to do anything about him now. But, man, here he is, and it's going to be crazy. Bartlett says, I'm going to snipe him. I'm going to shoot my rifle. I'm going to snipe him. It's going to be awesome. I was like, all right, but this is going to go poorly for you.
That's some called it shot did not. There, dude.
It did not go poorly for him.
Wow.
He rolled, I think he just rolled a zero on the die, which is just like a straight up crit. Like he just did the critness crit possible. It was such an unrealistic goal to be able to hit this thing because he had the special boy armor. He had a flicker field on, so you couldn't really see where he was.
Mm-hmm.
It was like the least likely thing for him to have hit this thing. And he rolls a crit so just ass blastingly hard. Blows off the Archon's leg, killing him instantly.
Jesus.
Like, here's the big boss. Wham! Just gone. Just dead immediately. He just dead.
How did the GM feel about having his big bad boss shot away?
It was so unlikely. It's like, all right, well, that's out. I guess they're doing gene stealers now. Well, just had to completely do a 180. Oh gosh.
He just ooh, needs to give like games. A thumbs up at the end and go cha-cha. Like it's no
tell
big deal.
Tell us a story, Molly. It's your turn. I'm putting you on the spot.
Can I finish eating my sandwich, please?
I need to put a fajita in my mouth.
Hmm. I don't really care if eating on stream is bad. This mouth requires food all the time. What did that guy on Roll 20 say? He's like, my mouth requires constant almonds.
What?
Mm-hmm. I'll show you later.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
It's fine. It's like college humor stuff. It's just really funny. I'm trying to think of something good. I've been trying to think of something.
Is this a Brennan Lee Mulligan thing?
Yes, it is. It is. Mm-hmm. Brennan Lee Mulligan needs a constant, like, constant stream of almonds while he's DMing. That's what he said.
We all love Brennan.
Yeah, it's hard not to. I mean, look at his fucking face, man. He's got the
face. He does have a very, like, teddy bear-like quality to him.
I know. I really hope he doesn't turn out to be, like, a terrible person. Because I would be heartbroken. That's being very, like, exaggerating on how I would feel, but, like, it would not be fun.
That would be, like, proof that we are legitimately in the worst timeline in this Earth.
Right? I know, ever since Harambe died.
Everything's just gone so wrong. No one can explain it, but we know that was the inciting event.
Right? Right? Everyone knows about Harambe. I think I've told on this podcast a couple of things that have gone horribly wrong, and not in like a positive way. Like the time that we were playing with this guy, and Nate was like a rules arguer kind of dude who likes to customize his character, make, you know, quote unquote broken characters. And he was playing a chaotic good gnome. I don't think it's an artificer, an alchemist. So, and he knew how to bend the rules extremely well, because that's how he would make his quote-unquote broken characters. You go, You know, you could argue that this worked, and you're like, I don't know, that seems real cheap to me, but I digress. My ex-boyfriend was DMing, and we got stuck in this small cave made of snow in a blizzard because we were just trying to survive the blizzard. And one of our other characters was I think she was neutral evil or something. She wasn't like full evil, but she wasn't like a good character. And so he decided that he was going to monitor her every move. And if she did anything he vaguely disliked, like at that time it was taking care of a small child and pulling them under their wing. And you're like, well, I don't know if the evil character should be taking an innocent child and making it their protege, but I don't really care that much. Because we're trying to survive this, you know, blasted winter. And so, because she did that, he decided to bomb everyone and kill all of us because you started throwing bombs at her inside this tiny cave.
Absolute cringe.
He team party killed because he decided that as chaotic good, that means he would just do whatever. Yeah. That's
a terrible player,
right? Like, that's not, he's one of those like Redditors. He's a bit of a type of person. I don't know if that explains it at all, but everyone has one of these people in their lives and they all have varying degrees of hobbies and, annoying affability.
That's total body cringe right there, man.
Yeah. It was pretty cringy. Not really very funny. Kind of like looking back on it, I'm like, why was I hanging out with this person? What the hell?
That's like at least three oofs. At least three.
That was a big ass oof. He also got really angry when I was trying to DM for the first time. And so I was like going through something and trying to design something. And Kate, which is the girl that had the evil character, and then my ex-boyfriend were going to play with me because I didn't feel confident enough to be a first-time DM to someone like Nate for obvious reasons. I didn't know the game well enough. He was really pushy, and since I don't know what I'm doing, I don't particularly like being stressed out. Yeah, there was a lot of things that happened in that house. Oh, to be 21 and in college.
That's a bad day in social studies right there.
Right? But we had fun otherwise. My ex-boyfriend was always a really good DM. One of my favorite moments was when I was DMing one time and I was hosting a module that had to do with some big-ass fighty tournament. And so all of their dudes were fighting one of my dudes. And one of my dudes took control of my ex-boyfriend's character, where he also made quote-unquote broken characters from time to time. And this guy was OP as hell. And by chance, I took control of his character, and so he just started attacking my other people. They finally won, but at the time, I was like, yes! Yes! Yes!
Now you have to deal with it!
Yes!
Assholes!
It's really stupid. I don't really see DMing as being winning or losing. But sometimes when you're, like, getting good on your players, you're like, yeah, I'm doing it.
Yeah, sometimes you gotta take them dubs where you get them.
I just kind of enjoy it, especially when I just am, like, watching them and I'm, like, rolling. There was this other module that I wanted to try, but I never got to. And it, like, instructs you while they're wandering through this super dark hallway to, like, roll randomly and... just like nod, you know, pretend like you're doing checks. And
you just fake them out.
You just want to make your players nervous. And it really sets the tone, right? Because there's no real, like real world, real consequences when you're just playing a game. So like, it's like a haunted house, right? You just kind of want to give them a little bit of an edge. And then the game is more fun for everyone, personally. Because I like playing games where I don't know everything.
Yeah, going in and, like, that's one of the reasons, like, I'm very hesitant to play any games. Like, a lot of people have wanted me to make characters for The Curse of Strahd.
What's that?
Which is it's a 5e module that is a kind of a remake of the old Castle Ravenloft, like, second edition thing.
Oh, neat.
It's a very cool module, a lot of very interesting horror themes. The whole thing is, like, very open. You can visit all these locations, and there's, like, lots of stuff to discover and futz around with. But I've run that module 3 times, so it's like, why would you want me to make a character for that game? I already know what's going to happen.
I know, right?
I am, like, the worst person to choose for that, because it's either... Because, like, I know I'm kind of a person of extremes when it comes to these kind of things. Either I'm going to, like, all right, I know the party needs this, so I'm going to start pushing us in this direction to get this thing done or get this item or do whatever.
I know, and it's, like, less fun when you're like, I think the party needs this versus I know the party needs this because I've done this before. Completely different
and
vibe.
It's like between that or just, like, shutting the fuck up and, like, not saying anything because, like, I want them to experience it. But then it kind of puts my own character on the back burner where it makes him kind of, like, unimportant.
Yeah.
As a result.
Yeah.
It's like, just don't ask me to play Curse of Strahd. I know too much. I've seen things.
Modules are really cute because it's like reading, like, a chapter book, but you're, like, playing with your friends. Does that kind of make sense? I like it.
Yeah,
I like the concept.
Like, choose your own adventure, because, only you're arguing with people the whole time.
Right. What's really fun, I enjoyed the modules that I worked on because I got to learn more about how to DM from people that know how to do it and wrote it. And that actually made me more confident. Not that I'm saying that it's, like, a perfect way to gain confidence, but I know a lot of people that really poo-poo taking pre-written stories and not writing your own. And I'm like, why? It sounds like fun. Why not do both?
Yeah, like, if especially if you're not confident in your skills, like, modules are a perfectly fine place to start. Like, no kink shame in here. I don't know why I chose those words. I regretted it as soon as it came out of my mouth. But
plus, like, there's some people that become forever DMs, and modules might be a nice choice from knowing everything, right?
God, it's me, though. Oh, I'm the forever GM. It's a burden I bear. We had so I actually played my 2E game yesterday, and let me tell you, Molly, to say that I'm writing my campaign is a very generous overstatement of the amount of work I'm actually putting into this.
Okay.
We got to an event where I introduced a monster that, like, I wanted them to deal with, but not right now. So
you just foreshadowed, like, the monster.
So, like, I had them encounter it, and the idea was, like, I was going to show them how badass this monster was, because this thing's like a CR18 monster. And the party's level 9. Like, they're not supposed to fight it right now.
Yeah,
it's meant to, like, show up, be destructive and powerful, scare them off, and then that be like a, okay, we're going to deal with this in the future kind of thing.
I feel like that can backfire very easily.
It did.
Yeah. Because it's amazing, like, even as a player, like, if they mention something, I'm like, that's the thing we have to kill. That's the thing. That's what we got to do today.
But, like, the thing is, like, because it's so strong, like, I hadn't even statted it out yet. It wasn't supposed to be something they were gonna fight. They were supposed to leave.
It's like Godzilla. And Baxter was just like, supposed to see it and go, oh.
Be like, uh-oh. And it's kind of what happened. Like, this thing's like 30 feet tall base and can get bigger. So it's really meant to be like a, oh, we need to leave kind of thing. Baxter instead was like, I would like to call in the airship. And so I had to, like, futz out the party, like, getting on their airship, loading up the massive ballista, like, how this thing was going to try and destroy the ship and fight people. And, like, I, on the fly, had to just bullshit this entire encounter with a monster that was way too strong for them to have reasonably fought. And they started doing crazy shit. They were like, all right, we're going to load one of the PCs into a cannon and shoot them at the monster. I'm going to shoot a rope on this javelin down to it so we have a way to zip line down to it. Like, they did all this crazy horse shit that really, it ended up being that, like, one of the party members, or, like, one of my GM PCs was, like, gonna use a thing that was, like, basically a highly explosive super soldier serum that would give him, like, 3 minutes of superpowers and then he would die. And he was like, all right, I'm just gonna use this, I'm gonna take this thing out, and then everyone gets to go home. And they refused to let him do it. Everybody loves Locke. Everybody loves Locke. So they stole the first one from it and sold it with this magical selling pouch they had. So he goes down, he makes another one. They're trying to wrestle it away from him. They're doing everything they can. He tells them, he's like, I'm not going to use this now. I see everyone doesn't want me to do this. This will be a last resort action. I'm going to hop on one of these ballista and start firing javelins at it. And as he hops on one of the ballista, another party member still just tackles him to the ground, gets the thing away from him anyway, and then steps on it, causing it to explode, destroying the front third of their airship. So they don't have a ship anymore. They just blew it the hell up. But that catapulted the ship's captain forward with such ferocious force that despite him very nearly dying in the attempt, he did manage to use the momentum to crack the thing's face open and, like, kill it for the time being, at least.
My head is in my
hand. It was a stupid moment.
What? What the fuck?
It was a lot of idiocy.
Was this just, like, a combo of idiocy and I don't understand, like, rampant
and they selfishness? Had the best time with
it. I don't understand. You see, you're way too nice. If I was doing that, I'd be like, this, you're not supposed to fight this. I just told them outright. You're not supposed to fight this. We're not fighting this.
I did tell them that and they decided to do it anyway. And really, my philosophy in these things is, like, as long as everyone's having fun, fine. I'm not gonna shit on them. I'm not gonna rain on their parade. So
you're so much nicer.
The thing's not dead.
I'm like, this is not part of the story. I don't have this ready, and this is giving me a panic attack to think about doing this without any preparation.
Listen, being stupid and making shit up on the fly has been 2/3 of this campaign.
I can tell. I think you're
no reason to stop now.
You're way better at with the improv than I am. I'm not good at improv.
I've had to be.
Even when I was learning piano as a kid and my teacher was trying to teach me jazz, she's like, okay, so one hand has a thing and then you just make up stuff on the other hand. I'm like, I don't know what to make up. What are you talking about?
Just start playing Hey Ya by Outkast on the other hand.
This was back when Hey Ya was like a new song.
Exactly.
Yeah, I'm not great at improv. I don't know if that really came through when doing D&D that one time, this other time, just earlier.
Sure. I love moments like it's just fun when you get to be stupid like that, though. Mm-hmm. And that has been, I don't know if I've told this one before or not. Like, there have been a lot of moments where my players have circumvented encounters or, like, done things that I just was not prepared for.
Mm-hmm.
And I tend to, like, try and roll with those.
I love the inside jokes that just come up from things and then they just keep getting brought up in, like, every single session.
Yeah.
Like, we had a corn dog in one of ours. That was basically it. Like, they just ask NPCs, do you have any corn dogs? I think this one of our players, like, finished eating a corn dog in real life and just was waving the stick around, and then he's like, and then I poke them in the face. You're like, what, with your corn dog stick? And it just keeps going, right? It's so funny. It's stupid.
You got any corn dogs?
You have any meat on a stick? I require meat on a stick. I need steak on a steak.
Excuse me kindly, sir. Do you possess any corned dogs?
I need some battered sausage. I can batter your sausage.
We had a one shot I ran. Well, I don't remember if I told this on the podcast or not, but I'm going to tell it again anyway, even if I have. We ran a one shot, and that's the game that led to this campaign that I'm running now, where it was originally, we had some people who were like, I'm not familiar with Pathfinder 2E, and I would like to get some experience with it so that I can start doing some stuff with it. And I said, okay, I'll run a game. Didn't know how to run the game myself either, so I ran out that day and bought a whole bunch of books to read. But the idea was there's this group who had been sent to investigate an event with what was called the Ghoul Star. In the night sky, there was one star that was a very pale green, and anyone who was born under the Ghoul Star's light would be able to speak with dead people, like commune with spirits and stuff. And they saw it as a bad omen, like it was just necromancy. Like, necromancy bad.
I mean, that's fair.
And kind of the idea was, like, they were going to... the Ghoul Star fell, and they were going to go to where it was to figure out what the hell was going on. And undead started raising in the area, and it was kind of like the idea that, like, necromancy bad, or is it? Because necromancy, as magic itself, might not be bad, but necromancers can be bad, you know? So the Ghoul Star was actually a being that most undead just knew as the Lady. Like, it was, she was some person of great power who died and decided that she was going to spread her light so that people could speak with their loved ones again and get closure, that kind of thing. But as she fell, of course, my boy Eteowyn, the mad necromancer, was like, I'm going to steal all your power and I'm going to do bad necromancy things with it. And so somebody had managed to get the mask off of him, and like kind of his whole thing is like, whoever wears the mask becomes Eteowyn, like a Jack of Blades kind of thing.
Fancy.
So they got the mask off of him. And one of them, like, I think used rocket boots to like slam dunk it out of the air into like an anti-magic containment field with like all these crazy will sets. Like, I don't remember the exact sequence of events, but they got the mask from him. Somebody failed a will save and started getting taken over. Somebody smacked the mask out of that person's hand, and then Caleb's character grabbed the mask, slam dunked it into the anti-magic containment, and like there was like a whole bunch of like nat 20s in this. There was just like so much like dope shit was happening in such a short span of time. They completely circumvented a boss fight. What was originally going to happen was an undead dragon was going to come in and they were going to have to fight it. And they just completely stopped that from happening. It just put that on ice, stole the mask, slam dunked it, to the point where it was so dope that they basically all became like nobility in the region. They were like, oh shit, that was cool. And the one undead character, Phirasma, the goddess of the dead, gave him a choice of staying as you are, being an undead creature, returning to your previous life, like getting your flesh back and being who you were before you died, or finally being able to pass on. And he chose to pass on. It was like, it was just a whole moment. It was a whole thing where everyone's like, whoa, that was just really dope. And it led to, all right, cool, we want to keep playing. We're going to not have this just be a one shot. There's going to be a campaign now. That was super fun.
That sounds super fun. Man.
It was super fun. I love moment. Like, I know a lot of GMs would be really mad. Like, oh, but I had this boss fight planned.
I think,
but, like,
it depends on the thing.
If you can, like, if they do something so completely dope that it can, that just totally circumvents the boss fight, let it happen, because they're going to have a lot more fun that way.
I think it depends on how you define dope, because I think your players managing to get the mask away and prevent an entire thing from happening is really dope. Your other player shooting someone from really far away and on a fluke rolls a 20 feels cheap.
That was funny as hell. No, I cannot be mad about that, because it was so fucking unlikely. We were laughing about it for days.
I can imagine you laughing and going, I have like a whole thing planned.
It was like literally there. Like, Drakari were going to be the boss. They were going to be the big enemies throughout that thing. And like, nope, they're not anymore. Gene stealers, I guess.
Like, well, never mind.
It was really funny.
That adds to the funny, right? Oh, the ire. We're coming up on our funnier.
Time.
Oh yeah, go ahead.
Have you got any final tales you want to tell?
Not on me. You have any?
No, I think that's good for today.
Yay! We told the things. We said words with our mouths.
I said mine with my brain mind. I'm telepathically sending you these signals through the internet airway.
Ooh. I thought you were recording, too. How are you sending them to that the recordy?
Listen.
What's the instrument used to recordy of the mind signals?
I'm a mind flayer, okay? Chill.
Oh. You didn't tell me you had tentacles.
Enjoy my fork noises.
Fork yeah, noises? Fork
noises.
What?
I've been eating fajitas.
Oh, I love fajitas. What's in your fajitas? Share with the class.
Chicken and peppers and onions.
Oh.
Chicken.
You got tortillas with them?
No.
And then tortillas.
No.
Very sad. My condolences. Yeah.
Thank you, everyone, for listening. If you would like to find us on the Fache Book, it would be fachebook.com/d20dudes. If you want to Twibber at us, it would be twibber.com/d20dudes or @d20dudes. We got a Discord link down in the description if you would like to come, I don't know, write My Little Pony fan fiction in our server.
Would it be like a website formerly known as Twitter?
No. I refuse this.
I'm trying
to elongated muskrat.
I'm trying to keep us from sounding aged.
I don't care. It's everyone knows that he is making a massive mistake and he's just falling down the stairs and farting live streamed in real time for the past year and a half. That is what this whole thing has been.
Rich people aren't actually very intelligent. They're just like everyone else. Just dumb, basically.
If you would like to if you would like to listen to me choke and die, stay tuned. If you would like to support us, if you'd like to support the podcast monetarily, patreon.com/d20dudes. Just $3 a month gets you a shout out, like I am about to do for Zam, for Ken Thomas, for Word, and for Jenny. Thank you guys. You are tasty, tasty individuals.
Huzzah! Thanks
for listening. Now we will roll this beautiful bean footage and see what next week's topic is going to be.
Mm-hmm.
I hath rolled a 7. Molly?
7!
7 is break.
Break.
Oh. Break!
Oh, I thought you meant a break. I was like, oh, no. Break!
No, 7 is
exclamation
the system.
Point.
Break! 2 exclamation points.
Oh, right. Thank you. My grammar.
Yeah, it's got 2 of them. Which is, it's a system that's so new that it's not even out yet.
Yeah.
It is currently in like a beta pre-release kind of test thing, but it was a kickstarted thing that seems pretty cool. Seems very fun.
It is fun.
So we'll catch you. We will catch you next week's episode.
Brightly colored.
Farewell.
Bye.